So today's reading includes two stories, two accounts about those proclaiming the kingdom of God, but not being welcomed or heard. First Jesus and then his disciples. So let's get into these a little bit and see what they might have to say to us today. The first incident is it on now? Good. So we're going to look at these two incidents of those proclaiming the kingdom of God not being welcomed or heard. So the first incident is in the synagogue, apparently in Nazareth, though Mark actually doesn't call it Nazareth, he just calls it Jesus' hometown. He'd been by the lake where he had healed the woman and the local synagogue leader's daughter, and then he obviously walked up into the hills to get to Nazareth. It would have been about 40 kilometres. And in those days, Nazareth was a very small, insignificant village. So Jesus was basically a very small town boy. The synagogue was probably the only place to hold a meeting in the village, and it would be natural to invite a visiting personality to speak. Jesus clearly has established a bit of a reputation by now. He'd been teaching, healing the sick, and casting out demons over much of the Galilee Lake District by then. And his disciples came with him and got to see how he was rejected, even by those closest to him. So once again, those who heard him were astounded, astonished. The word has that sense of being overwhelmed by something. But this time, they were not astonished because they were overwhelmed by his teaching and impressed by it, but rather because they were filled with scorn. Where previously the disciples and the listeners asked, "Who is this?" in wonder, now the people ask, "Who is this?" in the sense of, "Who does he think he is? He's just the carpenter." Now, carpenter translates the word tectone, a person who's skilled in woodwork, building, perhaps carving with wood and stone. Someone who is good with their hands, basically. And then they hear that Jesus has the reputation of doing mighty works with his hands, deeds of power with his hands, instead of carpentry, as you might say. And Jesus' eldest son would have been expected to take over his father's business, especially after his father died, which would explain why his father wasn't mentioned in this story. So the locals would know him well, and they'd know the whole family. They mention Mary and the brothers by name. Now, I think Mark records this because he was writing about people who were actually known in the Christian community at the time. So at that time, even Paul mentions that Jesus' brothers were part of the Christian community in 1 Corinthians 9. But obviously at the time that Jesus was going to Nazareth, they weren't on board. They weren't really accepting Jesus and his mission. And even earlier in Mark, it mentions that they came and tried to pull him away from the crowds. They thought he was really behaving in ways that they didn't really want him to. So anyway, the whole community knew him, knew his family, and they took offense at him. The word in Greek is to be scandalized. It's the word that's used of Jesus being the stumbling block. Even those who met Jesus in the flesh could stumble because of him. And then Jesus quotes a proverb. It's a proverb that's probably both Roman and Greek at the time. "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin, and in their own house." And those last phrases, "among their own kin and in their own house," may have been added by Jesus at the time. It's a bit like our own proverb, familiarity breeds contempt. Now, this is a warning to us. It's so easy to accept the words of a visiting speaker and to reject the same message from someone we know well. For his village neighbours, it was hard to accept the ordinary being great. And even when people accept the teaching as great, it's a choice to accept the person giving it. And then Mark says Jesus could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Now, there's two things that are important to us here. First, it's not as if those who come to him do not have enough faith. That if they don't have enough faith, then they won't be healed. Unfortunately, this is often used as an excuse for people not being healed when they're prayed for, as if it was their fault. After all, Jesus, the Son of God, everywhere else, he's described as healing everyone who came to him. He is the Son of God, not limited in his power. He's in full connection with God. But what is happening here is that few people were coming to him to be healed or delivered. That offence that so many feel against him means that they don't come. They don't expect healing. They don't have faith for that, and so they don't actually ask to receive it. Offence is a stumbling block, a barrier to faith. Faith is getting ready to receive the miracle available in Jesus. And that is what the woman with bleeding evidenced when she touched Jesus. She was reaching out to receive what was available. And Jesus commended her for her faith, for going to receive it. Coming to Jesus for help is a sufficient sign of faith in itself. But the people of Nazareth, they didn't think to come to him. They didn't have that much faith. And the other point to make here is that Jesus does not impose himself where he's not welcome. These people stand face to face with Jesus. They have heard his teaching, and they've heard of his remarkable miracles. Yet they are allowed their astonishing disbelief. It appears that God is willing to limit the reach of his sovereignty to give room for human freedom, despite the consequences for those people. And we see this reflected in what he says to his disciples later when he sends them out. Then Jesus continues to go about among the villages around this area. And there he's obviously teaching where he is accepted. He then sends out the 12 to extend this ministry more widely. So Jesus had called the 12 in Mark 3, verse 13, to be with him. And now he calls them to be away from him, as you might say. That was a fulfillment of the original intention, which was also mentioned in that same passage in Mark, that they were going to be sent ones. This is Jesus' consistent plan. He calls us close to him so that we can then go out and be close to others and bring that power and presence of Jesus to them. This is what it is to be a disciple of Jesus. He sent them out two by two. This may have been due to the requirement in Deuteronomy for two witnesses to agree for their testimony to be accepted as true. Or it could be just because it's common sense to give each other encouragement and support. As it mentions in Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one. Later on in Mark, tasks are done in twos as well. And in Acts, Paul goes out with a companion each time, except when he goes to Athens. And that's the one place where he does not end up establishing a community of faith. And then he gives them a list of things to take or not to take. Taking a staff and wearing sandals. Now that would remind his hearers straight away of the Passover instructions. What they took as they fled to begin their journey to their promised land. And also wearing sandals reminds us of Paul's spiritual armor, being shod with the readiness to share the gospel of peace. And even Isaiah, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news. But not wearing two tunics, for example, would mean that they didn't have their outer tunic or cloak, which meant that they would normally have that to keep warm if they had to sleep outside. But they couldn't do that. It meant they had to rely, along with not having any money too, they had to rely on the hospitality of those whom they met along the way. They had to trust in God's provision and not pick and choose where they were to stay for the greatest benefit. Stay at the first place you come to, where you're received, that is. And then just as Jesus had shown them in his ministry, so too they would be rejected by some. And they were to shake the dust off their feet and move on if they, with their message, were not welcomed. Now this was a common rabbinical practice, to shake the dust from their feet when they'd been outside of the territory of Israel, so that nothing Gentile would pollute the Holy Land. Here though, it's those who reject the message of the good news about Jesus and the kingdom who are accorded the status of Gentiles. And that's in contrast to those who receive it, who are now the true Israel, the true people of God. The people of God are already being defined and redefined, rather, not in relation to the promised land, but in relation to the promised Messiah. So they go around proclaiming, as Jesus had, that all should repent, turn from their present way of living, and change what was wrong to what was right, their entire outlooks and aims even, to those of God's kingdom. And they demonstrated that right-making kingdom power and casting out demons and healing. So here we have, in these two accounts, we find that the amazing teaching and miracles of Jesus do not on their own produce faith. Familiarity can breed contempt, even perhaps especially for those closest to Jesus. And if Jesus is refused, he will move on until he finds places where his quite demanding message of repentance and costly good news will be received, where people will come to him and receive that right-making power in their lives. Now, if all that was true for him, it will be true for his disciples. And yet they too are to preach, to deliver and heal just the same. So if we seek to follow Jesus, to be his disciples, to be taking out his message, then we too will encounter those who do not receive the message. We will encounter those who take offense at us or at the message of costly repentance, take offense at Jesus even. Now Jesus demonstrated, and he's told his disciples too, that the response to that is not to keep on trying, as we might be inclined to do. People may receive Jesus in their own time, as obviously his family did later. But we are instructed to move on until we encounter those who will listen and receive the good news, and who will turn their lives around, as we have also been called to do. So let us pray.